Good morning. If you would, open your Bibles to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 3. A month or two ago, I was working. And I was presented with a situation to where someone else brought up religion and salvation. And in their comments, they expressed that they believed in salvation by works. Well, another person in the group gave their opinion, and their response to this was that salvation was for everyone, that God saved everyone or died for everyone. And I'm not very good at knowing what to say at the right moment, or being assertive in the moments to actually say something that I should say or the right thing. And so I just said that I believed through not this few words, but I believed in salvation by grace. And there was a rebuttal and then another one. And it couldn't have been set up better for me to make another comment. And for once, I feel like I was ready to do it. And right when that happened, someone else that was there, not one of these other two people, but someone else who was there just simply all of a sudden went, "Well, what's the difference?" And turned and walked off. And everybody just turned and walked away. And in the immediate moment, I was angry. I was frustrated because I felt like I was actually going to say something. I thought I could have said something, given a verse of Scripture, it was the right time, and I was going to do something right. And so I was angry with it. And the more I thought about it, I finally came to the place where I just dwelled on what was actually said in the comment of what's the difference. So look at Romans chapter 3 here. And my message tonight is titled, "What's the Difference?" And there is a simple answer to that question. Romans 3 verse 22 says, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The difference in being in religion and being in Christ, the difference is Christ. The difference is life or death. 1 Corinthians 4, 7 says, "For who maketh thee to differ? And what hast thou that thou didst receive?" I want to stay simple, so most of my time will be spent on Christ, who is the difference. But before that, we have to get a couple facts straight first. What's the difference between all men? Turn to Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 12. What's the difference between all men? "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." I might not have made this clear. The difference here is we're talking about the difference as it pertains to salvation. Micah 7 says, "The good is perished out of the earth. There is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood." In Romans 3:12, turn back to our text there. Romans 3:12 says, "They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Four times in the Psalms, four separate times it says, "There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Every man and woman, born of a man and woman, are the same. We are all born into sin. We are all sinners. Since I have sin, my sin must be punished. That's the law. And sins don't go away. We can't cover them. We can't hide them. It doesn't matter that we actually forget about 99% of the sins we commit. Everything we are is sin. We're sinners. When I was a small child, I didn't talk very much. I had a sister who did it all for me. And one of the first words that I ever said, if not the first word that's debatable, was I was sitting in a room with her playing on the floor. And my parents heard from the other room me all of a sudden out of nowhere just go, "Mine." I am a sinner. I'm a coveter. I'm a liar. I'm a cheater. I'm a thief. And I could go on and on and think of all the negative words you could think about someone. That's me. I really don't want to do these things. I try not to do them. But it's my nature. I've already done them. If there was a man who had killed someone, what is that man? He's a murderer. Does it matter if he confesses to the murder? That's nice, but he's still a murderer. Does it matter if he's sorry and shows contrition? Well, he should, but he's still a murderer. What if he did a lot of good works and did a whole lot of stuff to make up for the fact he killed someone? Well, we can give him nice adjectives like he's generous or kind, but we still have to always follow that with he's a murderer. And what if he is killed for his crime? What if he's put to death for this crime? Even his death is not enough to change the fact he's a murderer. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So if we use this analogy of a murderer, let's switch it over to us as sinners. If we confess our sins, it does not absolve us or remove guilt of said sins. Our sin still has to be punished. If we are sorry and we regret sinning, it doesn't change the punishment or we don't get off any easier. No matter how many good works we do, how great individual works are, none of that can cover the fact that we are a sinner, and none of our works can pay any portion of our debt for sin. And also, our physical death, the death of this body, under no circumstance is that enough to pay atonement for our sins. So in summary, what I've said is that all men and women are born into sin. We've all sinned. All sinners must be punished. And there is no way for us to fix our sin problem. So in that respect, there is no difference between men. What's the difference? There is no difference in us. We all need a Savior. Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. When someone asks the question, "What's the difference?" just like that person asked in that group, I don't actually have anything to separate myself from you or anyone else. I can't find a single verse of Scripture to justify why I might be saved over someone else. But if you ask me, "Who's the difference?" I've got an entire book right here that answers that question over and over and over again. So let's spend a few minutes looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the difference. In John 10, look at verse 24. "Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." The Jews didn't believe he was Lord, despite him telling them on multiple occasions, giving them illustrations, parables, miracles, all these things, they still didn't believe. So why didn't they believe? Look in verse 26. But you believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. There's no difference in these people and myself. It just says you believe not because you're not one of my sheep. They weren't chosen or elected. In Ephesians 1:4 it says, He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And Peter tells us, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Who is the difference between the sheep and everyone else? Look at verse 29 here in John 10. Who's the difference between the sheep and everyone else? Verse 29, My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The difference is Christ. And there are so many examples of Christ being the difference. Before I start listing some of these, let me make a simple statement. And if you're going to remember one thing I say this morning, I need you to remember this, because this is the basis for what I'm saying. And I'm speaking to everyone as an individual. If you have eternal life, it is because the Lord Jesus Christ interceded for you. And if you do not have eternal life, it's because the Lord Jesus Christ did not intercede for you. It's as simple as that. In John 17, it says, I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. In the book of Genesis, the Lord said, I will destroy man. The wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. But what happened? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What's the difference between two brothers? Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Who's the difference between one woman and an entire city? Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished, not with them that believe not. Those spies didn't just choose the right door. All of that was predetermined. There was one woman in that entire city that needed those men to come to the door, and she was the one saved. The Lord led them to her, and He was the difference. What's the difference between three men and the wrath of a king? Turn over to Daniel with me. Daniel chapter 3. I would like to read about 20 of these examples, but there's not enough time, so I picked a couple, and Daniel's one of my favorites. Who's the difference between three men and the wrath of a king? Look at Daniel 3, verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought those men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, did not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we shall not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Before we continue, realize this. These men understood that the difference between them being saved and them dying and them perishing is the Lord. But yet they also said they're not valuing this body. They said, if our God is willing, if He desires, He will save us. But the emphasis here is on the difference in salvation. Look at verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. Look at verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. The safest place was in that fire with the Lord. The men who threw them in, the men who got close to the fire but weren't in the fire, they all perished. The Lord is the difference in salvation. Who's the difference between one man in the midst of a huge crowd? And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him. And he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. The difference in this is not that he called Zacchaeus to come from the tree or he noticed him. The difference is in the next few verses. And Jesus said to him, This day is salvation come to thy house. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. What's the difference between a Pharisee and a publican? Two men went up into the temple to pray. The Pharisee stood and prayed with himself. The publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Who was the difference for the woman at the well? Whosoever drinketh of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto eternal everlasting life. And who's the difference between two thieves? One of the malefactors railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. The other answering rebuked him, Dost not thou fear God? And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou come into the kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. In these examples we have seen men and women, we have seen nationalities, we have seen a single person, a small group, a large group, we've seen all these different things. And everything that this message entails with the question, what's the difference? There is no difference in us. It's who is doing the saving. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Look over now in Exodus chapter 12. We had an Exodus 11, a portion read to us, and we'll spend a few minutes extra here on the Passover, which many of the writers say is one of the more complete or best ways to look at salvation in the Lord. So, after all the plagues in Egypt, the Lord told Moses in Exodus 11, verse 1, And the Lord said unto Moses, Yet will I bring one more plague upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. What was the purpose and what was the result of this final plague? Look at the second part of verse 7. What's the purpose and result of this final plague? That ye may know how the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And this is written where it says that ye may know. There are many people who don't know that there is a difference. There is one who is the difference. But the Lord here says that ye may know. All his children will know that he is the difference. The Lord puts the difference. The Passover lamb is this special type of Christ. So what I want to do is look at it as a picture of Christ, our Passover, who is sacrificed for us. And his sacrifice on the cross is the fulfillment of the eternal covenant. the difference in salvation. So the description of the lamb through the Passover, what the people of Israel were supposed to do with the lamb, that is a particular illustration of our Savior, and that He had to be perfect. And the first requirement here is the lamb was to be without blemish. This signifies the absolute perfection and sinlessness of our Lord. It says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." He had to be without blemish because someone perfect had to take our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ, in order to be our righteousness, must live a perfect life. As I said earlier, one sin is enough for us to deserve death. One sin is all it takes. And likewise, if the Lord Jesus Christ had committed one sin, then He could not have been a sacrifice. "For He hath made Him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Leviticus tells us the sacrifice shall be perfect in order to be accepted. The next thing is the lamb was to be taken out of the fold. Jesus Christ, our lamb, was taken from among men. He was the seed of woman, the seed of Abraham, and made of the seed of David according to the flesh. He was one of the fold. The lamb was to be a year old and had to be killed. This shows that our Lord, in His full strength of life, should be put to death. The lamb was to be roasted with fire. This signifies the manner of Christ's death, that He was crucified, enduring the full wrath and the fire of God's wrath for our sins. The lamb, the blood of the lamb, was to be sprinkled upon the lintel and sides of the door. Just as the blood of Christ was applied by faith, there is no salvation nor deliverance apart from faith in the blood of Christ. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." The blood on the door denotes an outward confession. It's evidence of heart faith. And though there were people who put the blood on the door, we'll see later that it was already known who was going to put the blood on the door. The child of God was going to put the blood because the Holy Spirit enabled them and opened their eyes to do so. In all of our going out and our coming in everything that we do, the blood of the Lamb is before us on the door. The Israelites were to eat the flesh of the Lamb. This signifies that we must, by faith, feed upon Christ. Truly believing on Christ and receiving Christ within us is called eating His flesh and drinking His blood. "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. He that eateth of this bread, he shall live forever." Israelites, they were all to eat the lamb with unleavened bread. Leaven is a picture or a type of evil. This is to signify that those who come to Christ, the true Passover, are to come in sincerity and truth, hating evil and hypocrisy. They were also to eat the lamb with bitter herbs, which shows the sorrow for sin and repentance in their heart of those who come to Christ. The lamb was also to be eaten raw, nor sodden with water. It wasn't to be boiled in wine, oil, or water. Christ endured the full wrath and judgment for our full justification, and nothing is to be mixed, nothing is to be added or joined to Him in any way. Nothing of this lamb was to remain. Nothing of this lamb that they sacrificed and used the blood from was to remain. This says that the whole Christ is to be received and fed upon by faith. Christ in both natures, divine and human. Christ in all of His office as our priest, our prophet, our king. Christ is all in all, His person and His work. These people were to eat the Passover dressed and ready to move out of Egypt. This is the Lord's Passover. It effectually saves. The world, or Egypt, to Israel, is no longer our home. We are pilgrims temporarily here, but awaiting His call to move out or to go home to Canaan. These people were to be dressed and ready and packed to go. Before this, and you think about how many different trials there were, how many of these plagues there were, and each time the same thing happened. But as it is, our faith, which is weakened among ourselves, but our faith and our belief is to believe that God is our Savior. He's the difference. He's the only thing that we put hope in. And the final thing that was said here was, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. This is why the ordinance was called the Passover. Because the Lord, at the sight of the blood of a lamb, not blood of anything else, not any other blood, not our blood, but the blood of the lamb, He would pass over the Israelites and deliver them. His judgment and wrath would pass over because the blood of Christ had been shed and paid for those sins. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Look back at verse 7 of chapter 11. Now realize, this is actually before the Passover was explained to the people. The Lord just told Moses what was going on here. And in verse 7, He says this. This is pre any of the Passover or anything about this plague. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast. The Lord told Moses before the Passover came that not a dog or anyone would say or do anything to his children. This goes back to everyone that is saved. Christ, the difference, was all founded before the foundation of the world. Everyone that was going to have blood on their door, it was already known who it was going to be, because the Lord is the one who His Spirit puts the blood there. So when it comes to salvation, what's the difference is a question that so many people ponder. So many people think about. So many colleges try to teach people. So many individuals stand up and tell people, what's the difference? It can be analyzed from countless angles. There are a whole host of potential answers. But ultimately, everyone who gets stuck on the question of what's the difference finds themselves completely lost with no guide and no way back. Instead, I implore all of us to focus on the question, who's the difference? And let's focus on the question as opposed to the answer. If we are ever shown the answer to who's the difference, we will find the only one who can provide, will provide, and has provided salvation for His people. The difference is Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let it be a blessing.